This is Audible.
The sale is defined by the customer. People don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. And your job as a master salesman is to create an atmosphere where people want to buy. Hi, this is Jeffrey Gittimer, and this is my book, The Little Red Book of Selling. The reason I'm reading this book to you as the author is so that not only do you understand the content, but you get the nuance from the 12.5 principles of sales greatness, how to make sales forever. If they like you and they believe you and they have confidence in you and they trust you, then they may buy from you. Why people buy is an answer that every salesperson needs. Why people buy is 1,000 times more important than how do I sell? No, let me correct that. It's 1 million times more important than how do I sell? No. Let me correct that. It's 1 billion times more important than how do I sell? You get the picture? I've just spent 3 days in our studio interviewing the customers from my customers, asking them why they buy. And the answers are a combination of common sense, startling information, overlooked issues, and incredible opportunity. It never ceases to amaze me that companies will spend thousands of hours and millions of dollars teaching people how to sell, and not 1 minute or $10 on why they buy. And why they buy is all that matters. Now, you may think you know why they buy, but you probably don't know anything about it. And let me give you some proof. Let me share with you the early warning signals that prove you may not have a clue as to why they buy. Number one, you get price objections. Number two, you have to send bids or proposals. Number three, they claim to be satisfied with their present supplier. Number four, people won't return your call. And 4.5, you're complaining that it's all about them or the economy. If these sound familiar to you, you may be in the big club. And I'm going to present a collection of elements as to why customers buy. They're in no particular order, but they're valid reasons which were given to me straight from the mouths of customers from every type of business. Let me give you a few of them. Number one, I like my sales rep. Note well, liking is the single most powerful element in a sales relationship. Remember I said if they like you and they believe you and they have confidence in you and they trust you, then they may buy from you? Like is more powerful than trust. If they don't like you, they're never going to trust you. I got a quote the other day from somebody exclaiming to be a sales expert. Started out saying, your customer does not have to like you, but he does have to trust you. What an idiot. Can you imagine the CEO of a company making a buying decision saying, you know, I trusted that guy, but I didn't like him. Come on. Like leads to trust. Trust leads to buying. Buying leads to a relationship. That's not the life cycle. That's the life cycle of sales. Number two, I understand what I'm buying. Number three, I perceive a difference in the person and the company that I'm buying from. Number four, I perceive a value in the product that I'm purchasing. Number five, I believe my sales rep. Number six, I have confidence in my sales rep. Number seven, I trust my sales rep. Number eight, I'm comfortable with my sales rep. Number nine, I feel that there's a fit of my needs and his or her product or service. Number 10, the price seems fair, but it's not necessarily the lowest. Number 11, I perceive that this product or service will increase my productivity. Number 12, I perceive that this product or service will increase my profit. And number 12.5, I perceive that my salesperson is trying to help me build my business in order to earn his or hers. My salesperson is a valuable resource to me. So, there's a few reasons to get your thought process going. If you discover yours, selling will be a snap. Go do now.
Oh, Jeffrey, you gotta tell me how to do this.
Okay, here's what to do. The first thing you do is call six of your best customers. The second thing you do is invite them to a seminar about how to build their business. The third thing to do is offer great food. The fourth thing is to tell them that there's also 15 to 20 minutes worth of questions that you want to ask them about how to strengthen your relationship with them. The fifth thing to do is craft 6 questions about how you meet their needs and what they look for in a vendor or, better yet, a partner. And number 6, record the session. Video is best, but audio is the second best. And then listen to that recording or watch that recording 100 times. That will give you the best lesson in the world. Now, I've just given you some of the answers as to why customers buy. But the bigger question is, why do your customers buy? Do you think you know? Want a cold slap in the face? You've never even asked them why they buy. It amazes me that this answer is so obvious, yet so overlooked. Well, let me give you the first red bit. If you want a list of questions of why they buy, or why they buy questions you can ask, I've compiled a list of a few questions that will get you started. Go to Gittimer.com, register if you're a first-time user, and enter the words why they buy in that red bit box. Let me give you a quote. Selling is puking. Your customers want to buy. You got a hot prospect list? Hot for who? How many of them are hot for you? I'll bet that's a smaller list. So let me give you the little red book of selling table of contents so you can understand where it begins. It begins with understanding. Understanding red sales, and it moves on to people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. And then why people buy, an answer every salesperson needs, selling in the red zone, how to use the principles of this book to succeed, why is the book red, what's the difference between failure and success, what's your biggest fear, speaking, rejection, or failing, and then the 12.5 principles of sales greatness. First one, kick your own ass. Second, prepare to win or lose to someone who is. Third, personal branding is sales. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. Four, it's all about value. It's all about relationship. It's not all about price. Five, it's not work, it's network. Six, if you can't get in front of the real decision maker, you suck. Seven, engage me and you can make me convince myself. Eight, if you can make them laugh, you can make them buy. Nine, use creativity to differentiate and dominate. 10, reduce their risk and you'll convert selling to buying. Number 11, when you say it about yourself, it's bragging. When someone else says it about you, it's proof. Number 12, antennas up. And number 12.5, resign your position as general manager of the universe. Now, after the principles, I have more critical sales information, more red sales thinking. Strategies at the end to help you win at the beginning. The little salesman that could. The 2 most important words in selling. The 12.5 principles of lifelong learning. Implementing the rule of the more, the more. What does it take to be number 1 and stay there? And ends with a chapter entitled, This Book Has No Ending. I begin the book with a concept called selling in the red zone. I'm not just an expert in sales. I'm a salesperson who's made millions of dollars worth of sales and remained a student of sales only for about 30 years. And besides, who just wants to be an expert when you can be the expert? In this little red book of selling, you're going to have the opportunity to understand why sales happen and, by mastering the elements that I give you, make sales happen for yourself forever. The difference between success and mediocrity is philosophy. Most salespeople think end of the month, but you have to begin thinking end of time. That's how I think. If you think end of time, each time you're in a selling situation, the sale will always be long-term, relationship-driven, and referral-oriented. And it has nothing to do with sales manipulation or other seedy tactics. That has given real salespeople a bad rep. The Little Red Book of Selling could also be titled The Little Red Book of Buying. The subtle difference in sales between the successful and the unsuccessful is the difference between trying to sell what you have and creating the atmosphere where the prospect will buy what you have. People don't like to be sold, what they love to buy has become more than a registered trademark to me. It's my mantra. And throughout the course of this book, you must begin to adopt a philosophy that drives you to a higher, value-driven, helping purpose. Okay, I know. Sounds like a college professor, even sounds unrealistic on the surface, but keep in mind, I was raised in New Jersey, went to college in Philadelphia, had businesses in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, and sold garments in Manhattan for 5 years, successfully, without giving one bribe, even though every person either expected one or asked for one. In all my sales battles, both victorious and in utter defeat, I've learned millions of dollars worth of lessons that you're going to be receiving in this Red Book for somewhere around $20. Instead of thinking end of the month, begin thinking end of time. Here's how to take the golden information inside the Little Red Book of Selling and transfer it into your sales success. I'll give you the gold in bite-sized chunks. You can absorb the nuggets anywhere, anytime. You can try them out the same moment that you learn them. There's also going to be every imaginable ancillary product to help you further your understanding of sales and why people buy. You can get CDs, flashcards, videos on the internet, you name it, to help you understand, implement, and execute the most powerful selling strategies that I know. If you can't use these strategies to build your success, it's my highest recommendation that you get out of sales as fast as you can. If you master them and implement one skill per day into your life and your sales life, at the end of 1 year, you'll be an expert. An expert with a bigger bank account. But let me give you one note if you're listening to this or watching this. This book contains language used by real people in real situations in sales. I've not edited this book for political correctness. I'm a male. I tend to speak in the male gender. Nor have I edited for real-world selling situations that I face every day. I've edited out one thing. All the bullshit. If any of this is offensive to you, get out of sales as fast as you can and take a nice, safe job with some big company where you can whine all day and complain about your low pay. But if you want sales success, the sales success that you dream about, and the end be fulfilled because you did it your way, then this is the book to be purchased immediately, read twice, listened to twice, studied, implemented as fast as you can, and referred to every day. If you want to have your cake and eat it too, then I guarantee that this book is for you. The Little Red Book of Selling is not just about how to make a sale. It's about how to make sales forever. Let me share with you how to read the book and how to read the principles and how to use this book to succeed. First of all, the book is red. Emphasis will be placed in key areas and you'll know them because they're red. But understand that that's just about every word, not just the red words. The book must be read, R-E-A-D. In order to get the most out of the book, you must actually read each word. Now, I'm giving it to you in audio. Go get the book and read it as well. I've taken great pains to eliminate the fluff. Whatever you read here is all red meat. Whatever you listen to here is red meat. But you must reread it or re-listen to it. As you face your real-world selling, you're going to find applications for each of these principles. I made the book small so you can carry it with you, or you can take the CDs and put them in your car. And you can use the principles as they're called for in every selling situation that you face. The more you carry the book, the more you listen to the CDs, the more sales you're going to make. The book is marginal. In the margins, you're going to find sales wines, which I refer to as red wines, and you've uttered them all yourselves. And maybe even you didn't even know some of them existed. The good news is that I've answered every one of them. When you're finished reading the book or finished listening to the book, the words "quit your whining" will never have to be uttered again. Look out for the red bites. At the end of every principle are several information bites that will help you understand the principle in a way that you can use it. And get the red bit. Additional valuable information is available on my website, gittimer.com. I put it there so you could actually have to take an action on your own behalf. There's more red gold on my website. All you have to do is go there and mine it. Let me give you the two key words. It's free. book is money. This book is money, your money. As you study these principles, your sales will increase. As you implement these principles, your sales will begin to take off. And as you master these principles, your sales will skyrocket. Now, people have asked me, why is the book red? Red is the color of passion. Passion is the fulcrum point of selling. No passion, no sales. Red is the color of love. If you don't love what you do, go sell something else. Red is the brightest color. You must be bright in order to convert selling to buying. Red is the most visible color. You must be visible to your customers with a value message, not just a sales pitch. And red is fire. If you're not on fire, you're going to lose to somebody who is. All of these attributes of red must be present in a salesperson as a basic fundamental of success. If you don't love it, if you ain't passionate about it, if you ain't on fire, you're going to lose the sale to somebody who is. The Little Red Book of Selling is red for a reason. Not just for the principles, not just for the red bites, not just for the red bits, not just for the red wines. It's the love of what you do. Your passion for excellence will lead you to the mastery of the Little Red Principles of Selling. What's the best way to read the book? What's the best way to listen to these CDs? Slowly. What's the best way to master each one of these principles? One at a time. Listen to every message twice. Read every page twice. And once you get the idea, then you'll be able to understand it even better. So read it once to understand it, and read it twice to begin to think, how can I implement this? The second thing I want you to do is think about how each principle or thought applies to you, how you live, how you think, how you act, how you react, and how you sell. The third thing to do is study and implement an application. One of the secrets to becoming great at selling is to apply and implement techniques and strategies as they're learned. Reading is worthless unless you apply it. Listening to it is worthless unless you apply it. Four, pick up the phone and try it. The sooner you apply what you've learned, the faster it will become part of your own mastery process. And 4.5, don't whine if it doesn't work right away. And don't be blaming me. Not only do these principles work, they work in the Northeast where people eat their young. Here's the secret. Be your own Valentine. You can find this secret in the colored illustrations as soon as you open up the book. Look for the little red heart. See it? As you're climbing the ladder of success, you have to put your heart into your work. You have to love what you do. On the surface, it doesn't seem like much of a secret, but I promise you, it's the difference between going up the ladder and going down the ladder. What's the difference between failure and success in salespeople? What does it take to become a success? Everybody says the same thing. I want to be a success. I want to be a success. Let me give you the answer here. There's no quick fix. There's no magic wand or potion that will give you the success that you're dreaming of. So, what's the secret of sales success? Well, it's not a single secret. It's a secret formula. And the series has 18.5 principles in the formula. Principles, strategies, and actions that will lead you to success. Okay. The secrets of sales success are not real secrets. They're fundamental steps that successful salespeople and entrepreneurs have been executing for centuries. These are attributes that high achievers have in common. There's 18.5 secrets of success, and more important, are you the master of each of these characteristics? Number one, believe you can. Have the mental posture for success, believing you are capable of achieving it. This belief must extend to product and company as well as self. A strong belief system is obvious, but very few people possess it. Too many salespeople look outside for the money they can make, rather than look inside for the money they can earn. Believing that you're the best and believing that you're capable of achievement is the hardest thing to do. It requires daily dedication to self-support, self-encouragement, and positive self-talk. Question, how much do you believe in you? Number two, create the environment. The right home and work environment will encourage you. supportive spouse, family members, and coworkers will make the road to success smooth ride. It's up to you to create it. Question: how conducive is your environment to attitude and success? Number 3, have the right associations. Hang around the right people, other successful people. Network where your best customers and prospects go. Join the right associations. Make the right friends. Stay away from poison people, the ones who can't seem to get anywhere. Have a mentor or 3. Question: who do you hang around with? Because that is likely who you are to become. Question: how successful are the people that you associate with? Number 4, expose yourself to what's new. If you're not learning every day, your competition is. New information is essential to success, unless you're like most salespeople who already know everything. Lucky you. Question: how much time are you spending each day learning something new? Number 5, plan for the day. Since you don't know on which day success will occur, you better be ready every day. You prepare with education, plan with goals, and the details for their achievement. Learning and goals are the surest methods to be ready for your success. Question: are your plans and goals in front of your face every day? Number 6, become valuable. The more valuable you become, the more the marketplace will reward you. Secret: give first. Become known as a resource, not a salesperson. Your value is linked to your knowledge and your willingness to help others. Question: how valuable are you to others? Number 7, have the answers your prospects and customers need. Answers, not solutions. The more you can solve the problem, the easier path you will have to sales success. Prospects don't want facts. They want answers. In order to have those answers, you better have superior knowledge about what you do and explain it in terms of how the prospect uses what you do to profit or produce more. Question: how good, how valuable are your answers? Number 8, recognize opportunity. Stay alert for the situations that can create success opportunities. The little known key is to get and maintain the attitude, the yes attitude, the positive attitude. Attitude allows you to see the possibilities when opportunity strikes, because it often shows up in the form of adversity. Question: how well do you spot opportunity? 9, take advantage of opportunity. First, recognize it, because it shows up disguised in the form of adversity. And second, act on it. Opportunity is elusive. It exists all over the place, but very few can see it. Some people fear it because it involves change. Most people don't believe they're capable of achievement. Question: do you seize opportunity? Bigger question: do you see change as opportunity? Number 10, take responsibility. Everybody, including you, blames other people to a degree. Blame is tied to success in reverse proportion. The lower your degree of blame, the higher degree of success you'll achieve. Get the job done yourself no matter what. Petty blame is rampant and the biggest waste of time in the world. Don't blame others or yourself. Just take responsibility for your actions and your decisions. Blaming others is the easiest thing to do, but it leads to a path of mediocrity. Successful people take responsibility, grab responsibility for everything, and do everything that happens to them in a responsible way. Do you blame or take responsibility for your actions? That's a question. Number 11, take action. Just do it was the expression for the 90s. Actions are the only way to bridge plans and goals with accomplishment or achievement. Nothing happens until you make something happen every day. Question: are you action or BTNA? Big talk, no action. Number 12, make mistakes. The best teacher is failure. It's the rudest of awakenings and the breeding ground for self-determination. Don't think of them as mistakes. Think of them as learning experiences not to be repeated. Question: how willing are you to make mistakes? Number 13, willingness to risk. Be willing to risk. This is the most crucial factor. No risk, no reward is the biggest understatement in the world. It should be stated, no risk, no nothing. Taking chances is a common thread among every successful person. No risk, no reward, the saying goes, and it's true. Most people won't risk because they think or they fear the unknown. The real reason people won't risk is that they lack the preparation and the education that breeds self-confidence, self-belief, to take the chance. Risk is the basis of success. You want to succeed? You better be willing to risk whatever it takes to get there. Question, how willing are you to risk? Number 14, keep your eye on the prize. Post your goals. Stay focused on your dreams and they will become a reality. Too many foolish diversions will take you off the path. Question, how focused is your sales effort? Question, as focused as your play effort? Number 15, balance yourself. Your physical, spiritual, and emotional health are vital to your success quest. Plan your time to allow your personal goals to be synergized with your work goals. So the question is obvious. How balanced are you? Number 16, invest, don't spend. There should be a 10 to 20% gap between earning and spending. Clip some of your credit cards in half and make a few investments with professional guidance. Do you invest? That's a question. Better question, do you invest in yourself each month? Number 17, stick at it until you win. Most people fail because they quit too soon. Don't let that be you. Make a plan and commit to see the plan through no matter what. Don't quit on the 10-yard line. Have whatever it takes to score. How many projects do you abandon before they're complete? That's a question. Number 18, develop and maintain a positive attitude. Surprisingly, this is not a common characteristic. By the time many people make it to the top, they've developed this irreversible cynicism. But positive attitude, or yes attitude, makes achieving success a heck of a lot easier and a lot more fun. Question, how positive is your attitude? In 18.5, ignore idiots and zealots, also known as pukers. These people will try to rain on your parade because they have no parade of their own. Avoid them at all costs. See, I told you, no revelations. Okay, so if these characteristics seem so simple, how come they're so difficult to master? Answer, your lack of personal self-discipline and a dedication to lifelong learning. Oh yeah, that. I'm constantly amazed and disappointed at the small number of people willing to execute the simple daily self-disciplines needed to reach higher levels of success. They know it will bring them success. You know it will bring you success. You dream about it, yet you fail to execute. In sales or any business effort or career position, the person who will emerge victorious most of the time is the person who wants it the most. Victory does not always go to the swift, hare versus tortoise. Victory does not always go to the powerful, David versus Goliath. Victory does not always go to the lowest price, Yugo versus Mercedes. The victory that you call success goes to the best prepared, self-believing, right-associated, self-taught, responsible person who sees the opportunity and is willing to take a risk to seize it, sometimes a big risk. Is that you? Well, there's the secret. It's not real complicated. It's not nuclear physics or brain surgery. And now that I've shared it with you, thousands of people, you'd think there'd be a surge in the ratio of successful people. No. The reason the success formula is considered a secret is that it remains an enigma. It seems that there are very few people who are willing to put forth the effort to get from where they are to where they want to be. Most make excuses and blame others for their own poor choices. The biggest secret and the biggest obstacle to success is you. The formula is there for everybody to know it, but there's a big difference between knowing what to do and doing it. Now that you know the difference, why will some of you still fail at it? Well, the answers are inside the little red book of selling. But as my friend Harvey McKay says, you don't read a book, you study it. And whatever this media is, whatever you're watching, listening to, you study it, repeat it, and you'll succeed. What's your biggest fear? Speaking, rejection, or failing? You know, it's said that speaking in public, making a presentation to a group, is bigger than the fear of death. I don't buy that. I think if somebody put a gun to your head and said, "Speak in public or die," you'd find the lost William Jennings Bryan oration within you. Many salespeople fear making sales presentations, but by far, the biggest fear that salespeople have is the fear of failure. And it has a cousin, the fear of rejection. Rejection is the pathway to failure if you fear it. While failure itself is real, the fear of failure is just a condition of your mind. In Earl Nightingale's legendary recording, The Strangest Secret, he says, "You become what you think about all day long." Well, if that's true, why doesn't everybody think success? The answer is a combination of what you expose yourself to and how you condition yourself. You and I live in a world of negative conditioning. The three big motivators in the world are fear, greed, and vanity. They drive the global sales process, and they drive the American salesperson. Our society preys on the fear factor. It's in 50% of the ads that you see. The rest are greed or vanity. Ads about life insurance for death, disability, stolen credit cards, antifreeze for stalled cars, tires that grip the road in the rain, brakes that stop, avoiding a child on a bike, and security systems so your home won't be robbed. If you see that crap enough, you become fear conditioned. You're constantly reminded to carry mace, get a burglar alarm, and be sure you have the club. To make matters worse, you now see police at ATM machines, metal detectors in schools, and can rely on the local news to promulgate the trend. They're dedicated to promoting the issues of fear every minute that they're on the air. Our society gives you fear. It's natural that you take it with you into the workplace. It transmutes into a fear of failure. This fear intensifies in the workplace with hostile environments, bosses and managers who threaten, intimidate, even ridicule. In the midst of this, you're trying to be successful. And while you think you fear failure, or at least don't want it around you, you all face it in one form or another every single day. Everybody fails. But failure's relative. Its measurement is subjective. Mostly it occurs in your mind, especially first. If you exchange "I failed" for "I learned what never to do again," it's a completely different mindset. The status of failure is totally up to you. Over the years of my personal failures, I've developed a great way of looking at it with lots of practice. I learn from it or I ignore it. It is said that Thomas Edison failed thousands of times before the light bulb triumph. Donald Trump had monumental failures on his way to the top. Mike Schmidt, third baseman for the Phillies, failed at the plate at bat 2 out of 3 times for 20 years and was inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame as one of the greatest ball players of all time. Were these guys failures? You think they feared failure? No. There are degrees of failures in sales, and let me give you some of the external ones. Failure to prepare, failure to make contacts, failure to make the sale, failure to meet a quota, failure to keep a job. External, outside fears lead to internal, inside fears. Fears based on what happens when you fail or are close to failing. Your reaction to internal fear determines your fate. It's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you. So let me give you 5 typical reactions to rejection or failure. First, you curse it. Second, you deny it. It's a nice way of saying lying about it. Third, you avoid it. Fourth, you make excuses about it. Fifth, you blame others. That's the easiest thing to do. Or sixth, you just quit. Failure actually only occurs when you decide to quit. You choose your results. So let me give you a few simple things that you can do to avoid getting to the quit stage. 1, look at failure as an event, not a person. 2, look at the why and find the solution or the answer. Because if you look at no hard enough, it will lead you to yes. The third thing to do is list the possibilities or the opportunities. The fourth thing to do is ask yourself, what have I learned? And try it again. And the fifth thing is don't mope around with other failure people. Go find a successful person, hang around him or her. Let me give you just a few more complicated things you can do to avoid getting to the I quit stage. The first one is create a new environment. The second one is create new associations. The third one is access new information. And the fourth one is get a new mindset. Create new background thoughts. Let me give you this major clue. It's always too soon to quit. So, afraid to speak or afraid to fail? Which is the greater fear? When you consider the complications and the ramifications of failure, making a speech to 1,000 people, by comparison, is a walk in the park. So let me give you this major clue, because we're about to break into the principles. The information is here. The challenge has been laid down to you. The rest, totally up to you. I can bring you to the water, but I can't push your face down in it. You have to drink it one glass at a time. And in the end, the water will convert to the finest champagne. And instead of drinking it, you can toast yourself and sip a glass of success. Here are the 12.5 principles of sales greatness. How to make sales forever. In principle one, kick your own ass, here's what you're going to find. The kick your own ass philosophy, help, I'm slumping and I can't make a sale. And in the red bite section, you're going to have bad day or bad attitude, philosophy drives attitude, develop a yes attitude, celebrate effort, not victory. You already know what to do, you just don't do it. Time management, what's important now. Be selfish, learn for yourself, do it for yourself, selfish wins. Here's the first part. Kick your own ass. You ever have a bad day? You ever lose a sale you thought you had? Ever been in a slump? Ever been rejected 10 straight times? Ever had somebody say yes to you and 3 days later they just evaporate, can't get them on the phone, won't call you back? How do you react and how do you respond to those situations? Do you have all the sales training you need, do you? You watch television at night when you should be reading sales books or getting ready for your sales call the next day? Do you party at times when you really shouldn't? Do you get to work on time rather than make a sales call along the way and a sale in the morning? Well, these are all symptoms, not problems. They're symptoms of the fact that you're not self-motivated, that you're not self-starting, that you're not sales responsible, and that you're looking at your position as a job, not a career. You want to know what to do about it? You want to know the surefire way of making certain that you achieve the success, the money, the fulfillment, and the personal gratification that comes with a sales career? Here's the answer. Kick your own ass. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody wants to help you. Very few people will inspire you, and even fewer care about you. People care about themselves, just like you. Salespeople, not you, of course, tend to whine. Slow sales, unreturned calls, competition undercutting, you know, the usual. Got beat on price again. The same things that they've been whining about, the same things that you've been whining about for 100 years. If you want an insurance policy for success in the profession of selling, you better issue it to yourself, baby. Pay for it yourself. Name yourself as the policy holder. And down at the bottom line, name yourself the beneficiary. Then have the balls to sign the document and make a commitment to yourself. Don't whine to me that your boss is a jerk. Get a new boss. Don't whine to me that the customer won't return your call. Study voicemail. Don't whine to me that your company won't give you a laptop. They sell them down at the computer store. Go buy one. Take a moment right now and look at your sales resource library. What kind of books do you have? What kind of CDs do you have on the subjects of selling, presentation skills, positive attitude, creativity, and humor that you read and refer to every day? Let me give you the answer to that. Not enough. Regardless of your selling circumstance, regardless of your success to this point in time, regardless of your company, regardless of your boss, you have a responsibility to yourself to achieve. Achieve a level of success that you set for yourself, not a quota. Quotas are a bunch of crap set by management who couldn't go out and meet those quotas themselves if their lives depended on it. If you're a great salesperson, you should meet your quota in the first 2 weeks of the month and begin to bank real money the last 2 weeks. You should have your manager coming to you to find out how you did it. You should have the president of the company calling you on the phone congratulating you on your success. But let me give you a big clue. The only way this is going to happen is with self-inspiration, self-determination, and hard work that starts before everybody else gets up and after everybody else has gone to bed. Kick your own ass is not a statement, it's an axiom, an unbreakable rule that each salesperson, you included, must follow every day. As fast as you can come up to the understanding and realization that nobody is going to hand you any degree of success, that's your first day of starting. That's something you hand to yourself. 25 years ago, I was standing in a hotel, outside in the hotel in the morning in Chicago, waiting for Mel Green, the CEO of Advanced Process Supply, my client who became my mentor. It was February. The snow was coming down sideways, 5:30 in the morning. After I unthawed in his car, Mel and I began to talk about his latest project, which as usual turned from an idea into gold. "Damn, you're lucky," I said. He looked at me and winked. "Hard work makes luck," he replied. That single expression has been my gateway to millions of dollars, and it can be yours. Not every human being agrees with my personality, my philosophies, or my style, but no human being can say that I don't work my ass off. The secret I found in the kick your own ass axiom is that most salespeople will not do the hard work that it takes to make selling easy. But there's a bigger secret to work your ass off. All the rest of the principles can be taken to the highest level by working your ass off. Working your ass off leads to selling your ass off, and selling your ass off leads to banking your ass off. Now, if you want my library list of recommended reading, go to Gittimer.com, register if you're a first-time user, and enter the word sales pills, SalesPILLS, in the red bit box. And as for my commitment to you, I'm offering you one free online training lesson. Just go to train1.com, click on the free demo, but you must have high-speed internet access to view it. If you don't have it, you're losing to other people that do. And get yourself on the winning track. "Help! I'm slumping. I can't get the sale." In a slump? Not making enough sales? Not making any sales? Feel like you're unable to get out of that rut? Is it the economy? Is it the marketplace? Or is it you? Maybe you're not in a big slump, but you just can't seem to hit the quota numbers. Let's be kind and call it sales underachievement. Don't panic. Don't press too hard. Don't get down on yourself and don't get mad. Above all, don't be quitting. Okay. There's a bit of a slowdown. But don't be too quick to blame your lack of performance on it before you take a hard look at you. Take a closer look at slump before you blame economy. Let me give you the prime causes of sales slump. Poor belief system. I don't believe in my company or product is the best. I don't think that I'm the best. Poor work habits. Getting to work late or barely on time. Not spending your time with people who can say yes to you. Misperceptions that lead to sour grapes. I think my prices are too high or my territory is bad. Outside pressures caused by money problems, family problems, or personal problems. Poor personal habits. Too much drink, too much food, too much after hours play. Boss giving you crap instead of support. Somebody says, "You better do it," instead of, "I know you can do it." Events that go against you. New salesperson passes you. Somebody else gets promoted and you knew it should have been you. Customer cancels a big order. Weakening your personal belief system or causing severe money problems or both. Getting depressed from any of the above? When you're in a slump, you begin to press for orders instead of working your best game plan, which is sell to help the other person, and let your sincerity of purpose shine through and get them to buy. When you have the pressure to sell, the prospect senses it and backs off. Then things get worse. You can't seem to sell at all. You begin to panic. Oh my gosh, I can't sell a thing. I'll get fired, miss my house payment, can't pay my bills. False fear, baby. Relax. You're better than that. What causes a slump? You do. Therefore, you're the best, maybe only person to fix it. Let me give you the prescription to help cure sick sales. Study basics. Actually, study basics and reality. Usually what's wrong is not that complicated. In fact, you probably already know what's wrong. Your problem is that you think it's somebody else or someone else's fault. Wrong. List two or three areas that need immediate care and have the guts to take some action. The next thing you need to do is revisit your or make a new plan for success today. List four or five things that you could be doing to work smarter and harder. Make a plan to work as smart as you think or say you are. Hard work can change your luck. Change your presentation. Try a different approach. Take the customer's perspective. Let me give you the secret. Talk to your five best customers. Ask them to evaluate your situation. Get somebody you respect to evaluate your presentation. Take them with you on a sales call. Get a coach. Visit your mentor. And have a new plan to discuss when you get there. Don't be going, well, I can't do anything because I'm... Get to work an hour before everybody else. Put in more productive time. Stay away from pity parties. Don't make a slump worse by whining or hang around a bunch of other whiners or negative people or underachievers. Hang around positive, successful people. The best way to get to success is hang around more successful people. Go have some fun. Go to a comedy club. Do a little extra of what you like to do best, unless too much fun is the cause of your slump. Spend 30 minutes a day in the morning, that's the best time, reading about your positive attitude. Then listen to some attitude CDs and sales CDs in your car all day long. This is what I do. Listen to your favorite song just before you go on a presentation. Go into your next call singing, baby, wiggling around. Take a day off. Chill out. Take some stock in yourself. Make a plan. Regroup. Re-energize. And return with a renewed determination and better energy. Shake things up a little bit. Rearrange your office. Make it look new. Audio tape. Record your presentations live and then listen to them in the car immediately afterwards. Take notes. Act to correct it. Maybe even videotape your presentation. Watch it with others who can give you constructive feedback, not criticism. Take the best salesperson you know out on calls with you for a day. Get a written evaluation after every call. Maybe take your boss with you for calls, sales calls for a week. You'll get more feedback than you can handle, but it will help. Avoid negative talk. Avoid negative people like the plague. Find people who will encourage you, not puke on you. You know, when a baseball player is in a batting slump, he'll do anything to change his luck. Things from superstitions, rabbit's foot, not shaving, wearing the same underwear, to changing a batting stance, watching video, extra coaching. But the one thing that usually breaks the slump is extra batting practice. To regain the groove, fundamentals, baby, reality, baby. They, like you, have the professional ability, but temporarily lost it. They, like you, went back to the raw fundamentals to regain lost talent. Other random notes on the truth about slumps. The best way to get out of a rut is to keep the slump in perspective. Once you accept the fact that you can change it, you can begin to recover. Be cool. You're the greatest, if you think you are. Believe in the most important person in the world. You. In a sales slump, get fired up, baby. Or get fired. Red bite. Bad day or bad attitude. People always blame their attitude on the day. I'm having a bad day. It's baloney, baby. What you're really saying is, I've let other people get to my attitude. I've let other circumstances get to my attitude. That's not only unjustifiable, it's a sign of mental weakness. If you tell yourself you're having a bad day, I promise you, you're going to have one. If you tell yourself you're having a great day, I promise you, you will have one. The day is not bad unless you name it bad. Red bite. Philosophy drives attitude. Attitude drives actions. Actions drive results. results drive lifestyles. That's a quote from America's business philosopher, Jim Rohn. Here's what it means. If you don't like your lifestyle, look at your results. If you don't like your results, look at your actions. If you don't like your actions, look at your attitude. If you don't like your attitude, look back at your philosophy. Most salespeople make the fatal mistake of starting in the middle. They start with action. If you have no philosophy and a lousy attitude, what kind of actions are you going to take? And if I asked you right now, what is your philosophy? You probably would respond, duh. If you'd like a copy of my sales philosophy, go to Gittimer.com, enter the word philosophy in the red bit box. Red bite. Develop a yes attitude. There's a subtle difference between a positive attitude and a yes attitude. Both are great, but yes is a bit more powerful because it assumes that everything will start with yes, even when it's no. A yes attitude helps you formulate a response in a positive form. A yes attitude is more declarative. It tells people in a word that their expectations will be met. Yes. And somehow your answer to whatever they want or need will be yes, or in a positive format. Everybody wants to hear yes. And if you think of yourself as a yes person, not only will you be in a positive frame of mind, but you will also have positive expectations. Red bite. Celebrate effort, not victory. Too many times salespeople and their leaders only celebrate the sale. And while that's important, it's equally important to celebrate the work that went into making that sale happen. The work ethic, better stated, your work ethic, will lead you to more sales than any other element in your sales arsenal. If somebody says, oh, that Mary, she really works hard, I consider that to be a compliment of the highest order. Red bite. You know what to do, you just don't do it. Salespeople are the smartest people in the world. As I go from audience to audience, they all have one common theme among them. Everybody already knows everything. Problem is, they're not doing it. You see, there's a big difference between knowing and doing. And most salespeople are without a clue about the power of that subtlety. As you listen to this book, don't tell yourself, I know that. Rather, ask yourself, how good am I at that? That single question will lead you to learning. Red bite. Time management. What's important now? You know, lessons in time management are pretty much a waste of time. You already know what to do. You even know when to do it. What you need is a lesson in procrastination, or lessons in higher self-image, or lessons in fear of rejection, or lessons in preparation. Those lessons will allow you to execute the things that in your own mind you believe you don't have the time for, but in reality, you're just avoiding them. Red bite. Be selfish. Do it for yourself. Selfish wins. In order for you to be the best you can be for others, first you have to be